Okay, so we're starting a new perek. Perek Zayin in the Rambam, in the Sefer Memorom, it's on page Chaf Tes. So this perek is what the Rambam calls B'mechitza v'inyana, or Mechitza v'inyana. And the perek discusses the inyan of Nevuah. I just thought to add maybe a comment before we actually learn the parak is this again. This is written as an introduction, right? Shmoyne Prokhama Rambam, or the eight chapters of introduction the Rambam gives to Pirkei Avos. So Pirkei Avos obviously teaches us how to, you know, this is a sefer of Musa, really, of how to act. And if the Rambam puts this perek, a whole perek dedicated to the inyan of Nevuah, that's an interesting comment on its own right. He's making a statement. And what that really means, and that Rambam does feel that that's relevant to every Jew. In other words, we have to know a little bit about the idea of Nevuah and how Nevuah is reached, which is, of course, in keeping with the same idea of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, which the Mesillas Yesharim is based around. There he ends off with the Madrega of, well, Ruach HaKodesh and Tchias HaMeisim, so that even those very, very high, lofty goals of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah are supposed to be in our sight. We're supposed to look at them at something that is shaykh to Klal Yisrael, to any Jew. It's supposed to be something. So even though we're not perhaps holding there or anywhere near there at the current time, but it's important for us to have that idea, even what I would call in the Kabbalistic language in the Bechina of Makif. And I'll explain a little bit why that's important, is that we know Alpi Kabbalah that there's what's called an Or Pnimi, an Or that goes into the Kalim, into the body. Okay, our Evorim, our limbs, our body, are vessels to be mekabel the Or HaNeshama, and the Or of the Neshama that goes into our body, into our Evorim, into our right limbs, is what's called the Or Pnimi, or that goes inside and can be contained inside the vessels, inside the body. But there is what's called an Or Makif, an Or that surrounds, hovers over perhaps the body, and doesn't actually go into the body. The truth is, there are actually, according to the result, two Oris Makifim, so that the lower Or Makif goes into the body but kind of can't completely stay in, so some of it stays down in the body, the lower part, and the higher part kind of jumps back out in the beginning of what's called Or Chozer. It like returns and goes back up and surrounds the body. And then there's an Or Makif Sheni, a second Or Makif that's even higher, that can't ever get into the body. It's so high, it can't get into it, even on the first attempt, it won't make it into the vessels. And the significance of those Oris, or we'll just refer to it as one Or Makif, right, as the Or that does not actually stay inside our vessels, is that they act as, it's an Or that pulls us up higher. It's an Or of She'ifas. It's an Or that builds up, right? We look at somebody greater than us and we say, you know, I want to become like him. Even if I'm not going to become able to become like him, I want to get closer to that level. There's something there I want to try to tap into. And if you didn't have that figure, right, part of, you know, could say part of the lowering of the generations is that as generations go on, we're like a little bit less who to look forward to, who to look at. You know, we don't have a Vilna Gaon in our generation. Having a Vilna Gaon in the generation raises the she'ifas of a person, it raises the awareness of a person that such greatness can actually exist. So somebody who was zocha to be close to a gadol, be Yisrael, to a great tzaddik, has an awareness that a human being can actually look like that. And just that knowledge and just that awareness builds in us a certain ratzon, a certain yearning, a certain desire that I would like to get closer to that, perhaps even get to that. And thus, just that awareness, just that knowledge itself helps elevate a person. And the elevate, that's while it's non-tangible, it's kind of at the subconscious level. Okay, in other words, he's not even always aware of that. It's not like you go to, sometimes, yeah, but sometimes, just by being in the presence of the tzaddik, and just by being, right, that itself makes a person, you know, refines the person. So that this or makif works, whereas or pnimi, if you want to talk about growth, or pnimi will work on a level, let's say, of musar, a level where you're doing an avoida. You're actually doing footwork. Okay, that of course entails struggle. You struggle with an issue. You struggle with a midah that you might be trying to work on. You struggle with a particular mitzvah, perhaps. So over there, there's a struggle going on. So the more, and you learn about it, like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say, you learn about that mitzvah. And that, so there you're working at an or pnimi level where you're trying to bring it into the body. At the or makif level, it really you're doing a certain avoida, which is more like an intellectual, spiritual avoida, where you're being magdil, you're widening, you're broadening your scope of greatness, and you're not having a struggle with it because you know you're not holding there. But that itself is working where there's no klipas involved, there's no like Yetzirah involved that's blocking that particular type of avoida, which is an avoida of or makif, because it's coming from above. The Yetzirah is only involved with the body, but something that's coming from a higher level than the body, there's no Yetzirah there. The or makif, it says in the Arizal, blows away the Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah can't get there. So when you learn about nevuah and you learn about greatness and you learn about very lofty and yanim, on the one hand, the natural tendency of a person could be like, okay, this is kind of detached, it's not really shaykh to my life, and therefore maybe a person, some people that are more practically oriented would shy away from that limud, shy away from the learning, like, okay, listen, I have a long way to go before I have to learn about nevuah. But you should know that, no, it's actually very, very beneficial to a person to learn about that, because it raises up and elevates the person when you see what our potential is, what our kaiches are. And I think that, on a deep level, that's part of why the Rambam puts it in to Shmaita Prakam, because yes, for us to be a good Jew, we have to be aware and know that Nevuah is part of our essence, part of our being. If you remember, I think you're the only one, maybe all the way at the beginning of the Shiurim on the Sefer, we discussed a little bit more about Ruach HaKodesh and how it relates to a person of today. And so there also we spoke about the relevance of Ruach HaKodesh, that yes, it's relevant to us and should be relevant to us, even if just in a matter of she'ifa, of yearning. And we actually brought the Aruch Chaim HaKodesh says that the biggest curse of all the klolos that were the teichecha, the biggest curse is what he writes, the worst one is the fact that we don't have Ruach HaKodesh today. In other words, worse than all of the Holocaust, you know, things that we find in the Tichanot, because the Ruach HaKodesh is our connection, our direct line of connection and feeling and dveikus with the Rabbanu Shalom, where we actually tap in, we're actually getting messages from the Rabbanu Shalom. That's like pretty strong. The fact that that is not so available to us today, that's the biggest curse. That's the ikar detachment of Klal Yisrael from the Rabbanu Shalom, and that's the biggest tragedy, worse than it all, worse than all the punishments. That's the worst punishment. Okay, so that's just as my own little bit of an introduction to why this parak is is yes relevant at some level. Okay, so we'll learn the Rambam now. Actually, you can use this.
Harbe yimatze b'midrashot uva'agadot v'yesh men b'agmor sheyesh men ha'nevi'im mi sheyireh Hashem yizborach ma'achrei mechitzot rabot u'mehem mi sheyireh ma'achrei mechitzot mu'atot.
We find a lot in the Midrashim and the Agadot. Some of them are even in the Gemara, that there were some Nevi'im who saw Hashem Yizbarach behind many separations, and there were others who saw behind less separations, fewer separations. You'd like, we call them, let's say, screens, right? There were those who saw it like through some many screens, and then there were some that had less screens of separation between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between the Nevuah. So Lefi Kirvosim El Hashem Yizbaruch Hu Lefi Malasim BaNevuah, and that of course was dependent on how close they were to Hashem and according to their level of prophecy. Ad She'omru, to the point that they said, as the Gemara in Yevamos, Moshe Rabbeinu El Vashalom Ra Hashem Yizbaruch Me'achre Mechitza Achat Behira. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem from behind one clear see-through mechitza, klomar mazhira. Well, Rambam defines what it means. Behira is, it was like shining. It was very clear. V'hu amram histakel bas paklari ha-me'ira. And that's what Chazal said, that Moshe Rabbeinu looked at Hashem. He was able to see his nevuah came through what's called an aspaklai me'ira, he defines it here. Aspaklaria, what's an aspaklaria? Shem hamara hanasa migufa mazhir kisham uzchuchit. The name of like a mirror. It's like really like a looking glass, you know, we'd say. That's from a shiny body like a shoham and zchuchit, a glass. Kumoshi is barbasaif kalim. So basically, it was a very, very clear looking glass that the Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see through when seeing his nevuah. That's what the Gemara says. And as opposed to all other nevi'im, it says that it was an espaklai she'ena me'ira, a glass that was not so easy to see through. It wasn't as enlightening. It wasn't as clear. Va'kavana b'zeh ha'inyin. Now the Rambam is very interesting. You know, the Rambam's whole Mahalach and learning what this means is very different than the way one would normally understand this concept of aspaklaria. Because aspaklaria me'ira and aspaklaria she'ena me'ira, on the Pashat level, it's some kind of very spiritual idea that we have no shaykhis to once again, right? And it's like, okay, yeah, you know, there's some kind of, you know, I like to use the mashal. Of our connection with Hashem, of an air conditioner. Okay, we've been zeicha many times over here to have leaks from our air conditioner. Probably mostly, you know, our fault for not cleaning the filters enough. Now, what happens, right, when you don't clean the filters? Apparently, there's not a good airflow, and then water kind of somehow builds up over there inside the machine until it leaks out all over the place, because it doesn't suck out properly, it doesn't drain out properly through the drain pipe, and then you of course have nightmare of a leaking air conditioner, right? So, but the way it's supposed to work is, right, you're supposed to clean the filters, and then air goes nicely through those filters and feeds the machine, and everything works the way it's supposed to be. So I like to use that as a good mashal for our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Everyone has, like the Rambam is saying here, everybody has a certain aspaklaria, a certain mechitza. We're going to see, the Rambam is going to say in the continuation over here, by virtue of the fact that we are a creation, we are a human being, there's already a mechitza between us and Hashem. But how clear or unclear that mechitza is, that's going to be dependent on our avodas Hashem, which is what we're going to see over here in this parak. So basically,
Moshe Rabbeinu was filter, if you want to say, like, was completely open, completely, like, you know, clear. It was almost the point of no filter, I guess, you know. I mean, using a little bit different mashal than he's using, right? He's using a glass for seeing in Nevuah. I'm just talking about, like, we're constantly getting our neshama. Really, what comes into us is a very small amount of the neshama that is really shaykh to us. Each and every person we know, Alpi Kabbalah, has five levels of neshama: nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. And the Zohar says that most people just like get nefesh and a little bit of ruach perhaps, and if you continue on in avodas Hashem you get higher, and very 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 great people are able to like mamash pull down neshama. So in other words, whatever you're not pulling down is acting, like we said before, is on a makif level, but you're not really tapping into it the way you could be. You know, it's like kind of a mushal to this mushal, right? They say about Einstein that they studied his brain afterwards, whatever, and they studied Bechlal, human brains, and they find, like, you know, people use a very, very, very small portion of their brain capacity. Most of our brain capacity is actually kind of being wasted, I guess you would say. But so, in that same derech, right, paralleling that same idea, is the neshama. The amount of spirituality, the amount of ruchnis that we really could get, compared to the amount that we actually do get, is a very frightening difference. And be'etzem, we really have a tremendously higher potential for connecting to Hashem than we actually are making use of. And what that means is that there's the Or Hashem, which is really what is inside of us. Ultimately, the neshama is, you know, chelik aleika mimal, is this idea of the Or Ein Sof that comes into us. It's constantly flowing down to us. It's constant shefa. But what happens is there's blockage. The filters get caked up with dust and junk, which is based on the averis that a person does. And those averis make it that there's no airflow, chas v'shalom, there's no spiritual airflow. And then the person feels less and less and less, he feels the Rabbi Yishan. Now, the tremendous matana that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us is the keich of tshuva. Tremendous, tremendous, you know, I always say this, like, to Bali tshuva, people that grew up not from, and some people that grew up completely detached, so that they were chas v'shalom living maybe like goyim gmurim and everything, you know, they were eating complete non-kosher at all levels, basar b'chalav and pork and all the other ones, and they may have done other terrible averis, you know, which we don't have to be mefaret. And then suddenly, let's say at the age of 18, 19, 20, 20, whatever it is, whatever age it is, you know, 30, whatever age it is, suddenly somebody kind of gets a hold of them, or somehow they start getting interested in Judaism and they start to do tshuva, and like it's unbelievable to see how fast they can change and better themselves. I mean, and when you look as a frum person, you're like, it's so hard for you to change, it's so hard for you to move and to really make some kind of change in your life where you like can see the difference between yourself today and last year. And yet you look at these people, they like move in light years. That is a tremendous toiva that Rebbeinu Shlom does, which I've said, like, you know, you picture like this massive kicked up, just, you know, gook filled filter. And normally you would have to like, you know, work at it. And here the Rebbeinu Shlom gives you the click, just smash, big massive chunks come flying off at one time instead of the like slow by slow process. That's a tremendous toiva that the Rebbeinu Shlom does to be makarvas. Because he knows that, hey, this guy doesn't stand a chance. He doesn't stand a chance. You know how much garbage is on his filter? He's a goner. But the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want to lose any of us. So he gives us that opportunity to come close. But then at some point, you know, he says, okay, I helped you out a lot. Helped you out. You're now on board. Now you got it. Now you got to be like a regular person. You're going to have to do the work on your own. You're going to have to really... You have to do like everyone else, do the footwork, and then it becomes harder. And then that separates, of course, the mice from the men. There are some people that, when they start getting hit with the nisyanis, they fall. It happens all the time. And then there are others who, Baruch Hashem, are able to be oimed in the nisyan, and they get closer and closer, and then they
they live the way they're supposed to. They build a good life, but and a good connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in any case, that's all coming from the idea that right is that we have to realize these are the averus of a person and the midos of a person, if they're not refined, they act as mechitza between us and the Rabbeinu Shalom. And we have to work on every single thing we do, every single mitzvah we do, you know, creates extra passageway for the Or Hashem coming down and brings down the actual Or. The truth is, if it would be more meduyak, I'll say the mashal to actually say it more correctly is every mitzvah we do brings extra R down, but we need to make sure to stay away from the averus, because the averus have the ability to chop off, close up the holes so that you can't receive the R of your mitzvahs. Okay, so it's very important, both the mitzvahs aseya and mitzvahs loisase, the mitzvahs loisase, you really keep that screen clean, and the mitzvah saseh help bring down extra or. That's basically the system of our connection with Hashem. So, we'll go back to the Rambam over here. Vakavona bezeh ha'inyan. And the kavona of this inyan of the Asaklariya ha'me'ira, the Spaklariya she'ena me'ira, Masha omar lecha. It's what I'm going to tell you now. V'hu she'anachnu be'arnu be'perek ha'sheni. We explained in Perek She'ni. She'amailus Mehen ma'alot sichliot, the ma'alot, okay, the madrigas of a person. How would you have a good translation in English?
Attributes.
Attributes. No. Positive. I guess positive attributes. Maybe. Mehen ma'alot sichliot. So there are intellectual levels. Or mehen ma'alot midot, and then there are the midos levels, right? The characteristic traits of a person, the milos of a person's characteristic traits, v'chena p'chitiyot, and same thing with the opposite, the lowliness of a person, mehem p'chisiyoy sichliyos, the lackings, there are intellectual lackings, k'sichlut u'mi'ut avana, like foolishness and lack of understanding or very little understanding, v'doicha katvuna, and barely, you know, understanding things. And then there are also lackings in midos, like having too much taiva, va'agava, too much haughtiness, haroges, va'akas, getting angry, va'azus, and you know, chutzpah. Azus is daring, foolish daringness. The ahavat hamamon v'adomelen, or loving money, yeah, that's a good one for our generation. Like loving money too much, and anything like similar to this, to these midas, v'hein rabot ma'od, they're very, very, very many. Ukvar zacharnu b'seder b'di'asan b'perek arvi, and we already mentioned about them in the fourth parak. V'elu apchisyos kulan, all these lackings, yeah, these lackings, whether they're in the intellectual realm or they're in the character trait realm, hen mechitzot hamavdilot bein ha'adam ubein Hashem yisbarach, they're mechitzos that separate between man and between Hashem. Ma'amar hanavi mevar zeh, the words, the statement of the Navi explains this, because he says in Yeshayo, ki im avneseichem ayom avdilim beneichem lebein elokeichem yomar. He says that it's only the averus, it's only your sins that are separating between you and God. Yomar, he's saying, Shavoniseinu, that our sins, ve'elohin harois, those are the bad, right? The bad things that we do. Kimosh Zechanu, like we mentioned, meaning the bad midos and the bad, I guess, I mean, seichel is something also, is, you know, the Rambam is saying here that seichel you have to develop as well, but certainly midos. Those are the mechitzos, those are the separations that separate between us and between Hashem Yisbarach. Veda, shekol navi, this is unbelievable now what the Rambam is going to say here. Every prophet, every navi, lo nesnabe ela achas yilu kol amaylos asichliyos. What do you have over here? What's that? Is that the lashon you have over here?
Can.
Yeah, okay, good.
There's no Navi that got Nevuah until he had all the intellectual Milus. So he was intellectually, they obviously were brilliant people. They had the right strong, elevated Seichel. V'roiv ma'alot hamidot v'chazakot shebhen. And most of the good midos and the strong midos. V'hu Amram? V'hu Amram? I'm not sure if he means, you know, he probably doesn't mean roiv. He probably means Roiv might be all the multitude of Malus Amidus Vechazakos. No, but afterwards he does say that he doesn't, that the whole point of his parak over here is that he doesn't need all the Malus. Okay, so it's probably Roiv is probably the majority, like we said first. Vuhu Amram, and that's what Chazal say. Eina nevua shoyra, the Gemara on Shabbos, the Gemara on Nedarim. Eina nevua shoyra el al chacham gibor v'ashir. Prophecy does not rest on a person unless he has these three qualities, which we've spoken about, or we've seen already, the Rambam spoke about earlier in the Sefer, that he's a chacham, he's wise, he's a gibor, v'oshir, and a wealthy person. V'chacham hu koil kol ha-mailas ha-sichlis bli sofik. And chacham obviously includes in it all the intellectual mailas, undoubtedly. V'oshir hu mi-mailas ha-midos. What does it mean, wealthy? Nah, doesn't mean, well, we spoke about this back then, that there are some Rishonim that explain to Mamish he has to have a lot of money. But the Rambam's not explaining it that way. The Rambam says, Osher is from the Milos of the Midos of a person. That's the Midos of a person. Ritzoni Loimar, Ha'istapkut. He makes do, he's happy with what he has. Mipnei Sheim Korim Ha'istapkim. Hamistapek Ashir, because that's the way they called the Mistapek, they call him Ashir. Vu Omram Begeder Ashir, that's what the Chazal said, that what's the Geder of an Ashir? Is that Ashir? Asamech Bechelkel, the person who's happy with his lot. Ritzoyne Loimash, Yaspik Lamashim Tzilas Mano. He's fine with whatever his time has given him, meaning whatever his mazel has given him. Velo Yichab Mashalahim Tzilay. And he doesn't suffer, he doesn't feel pain from what he doesn't have. Oh, this is such a. Such a big mila to be samech bechelke, to be not always like, oh, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. That's an ashir. V'chein gibor, and so to a gibor, who gamke b'mila samidus. Gibor also refers to mila samidus, a different aspect. That he leads his koiches according to das and eitzah, which is meaning in a wise way, according to. Just to wisdom, and that's what they say. Who's a gibor? The guy who conquers his yitzhara. What does it mean? He conquers his yitzhara. You can either live life based on your seichel, or you can live life based on your yitzhar, on your certain natural tendencies, your bodily tendencies, right? That's. It's a hard shayftan, it's a tough shayftan. You could be intellectual, spiritual, you could be emotional and physical. Obviously, being intellectual doesn't mean you can't be emotional in a positive way. When we're talking about the seichel, that's what we've seen in the sefer. The seichel has to be the leading factor, the Rambam says. So, these are these three midos, these three inyonim, a chacham, meaning he's got to be perfect. He's got to be a mamish. What is it, perfect? He has to be shalom. He has to have intellectual milus, and he has to have milus of midos. Ve'ein mitnoi hanavi shiwetz lekol milus hamidos. But it's not from the conditions of the navi that he's got to have all the milus hamidos. This is fascinating what the Rambam says here. He doesn't have to be perfect in all characteristic traits. Ad shelo tafchiseu p'chisos. To the point that he has no lowliness at all. Not lowliness, chastron. Of course, the Navi doesn't have any lowliness. But he doesn't have any lacking. That's what it means. There's no lacking whatsoever in his midos. And now the Rambam goes ahead and brings down Smamish. If the Rambam didn't write it, we would like kick the guy out of the base medrash if he listed this list that the Rambam's about to do and the way he learns it. And obviously,
whatever the Rambam is going to say over here is, it's all on the level of these tzaddikim that he's about to speak about, and not on the level that we can relate to. You know, in our eyes, all these tzaddikim that we're about to learn about, we're going to mention over here, we're all malachim amish, you know, relative to anything we can imagine, the highest people possible. But the Rambam, unbelievable, he says, Shari Shlomo HaMelech Olav HaShalom Heid Olav HaKosev. You see Shlomo HaMelech Olav HaShalom, the Pasuk testified about him. B'givoy near Hashem HaShlomo. Hashem appeared to Shlomo in Givoyin. So he got Nevuah. U'matzinu le'pchisus midos. But we find by him a certain lacking in midos. V'hi roi v'taiva. And that is what was lacking? Too much taiva. B'beir b'har bois noshim. The way the Pasuk explains that he took too many women. Took too many women as wives. Vizemi pu'ulos tchunas reiva taiva. And that is from the actions that are done due to too much lust, too much taiva. Avama mevor haloi al ele shlachot shlomo. It's a pasuk mefurish that says that Shlomo sinned in this way. Now again, of course, we know the Farsham, Shlomo Melech had all sorts of deeper inyanim in taking these wives, and there was big Kabbalistic stuff, and big, he knew what he was doing in the sense that he had a big chashav cheshbon that didn't come from what we would term taiva. But on his level, the cheshbon was, the calculation that he made in doing it was incorrect, and on his level, there was a what would be called taiva involved that got him to stir off course and miscalculate what he did. And that the Rambam is saying is, so by Shlomo HaMelech, he had what's called a pchisis of roiv taiva. V'chein David HaMelech alav shalom, same thing by David HaMelech alav shalom, Novi, Omar, the Novi said, Li diber sur Yisrael. David HaMelech over there says that Tzur Yisrael spoke to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me. U'matzano is a balach zorius. And we find David HaMelech had cruelty to him. Afal pi shelo shimesh bo ki'im bo evdi gilulu ma'rigas ha'koifrim. Even though he only used that mid of achzorius, the mid of cruelty he used only against evdi avodah zorah and killing people that denied God. O'yarachem on the Yisrael, and he was filled with tremendous mercy to the Jewish people. We find even to his enemies that Mamash were right of him. He had tremendous mercy. But we find explicitly in the Psukim in Divrei Hayomim, Shashem Yisbaruch LeYoshol Livnei Beis HaMikdash. The Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't let him, didn't permit him to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he wasn't worthy in his eyes for this, to build the Beis HaMikdash, because he killed so much. Omar, he said, Atal lo tivne bayis lishmiki, domim rabim shafachta arzu lefonai. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, you can't build a house for my name because you spilled so much blood before me. Umatzanu be'eliyahu zachor l'tov. And we find be'eliyahu zachor l'tov midas haragzonis. We find that he would get very upset. He had a midah of getting angry. And even though, again, who did he use that midah of anger towards? The koyfrim, the people that denied God. On them he got angry. Chacham said, Shashem Yisbaruch L'kochay V'Amar, like Kadosh Baruch Hu took him and said to him, She'enei roi limshel b'bnei adam v'liyaslem l'koyin. He is not roi, he's not appropriate to be in charge of people and to be for people a koyin. Somebody who has so much jealousy and zealousy to like Elio has, that's not good. You can't have him in charge. Kiyamisim is going to kill them. If you have too much, you're too much of a kanoi, you're going to kill your people. You can't. So he can't be in that position. We find the same thing by Shmuel. Shepachad Mishal. He was fearful. He was afraid of Shaul. That's a pchisus hamidus. He was lacking over here. He shouldn't have been so scared. Ubi Yaakov shepochad mebegishas Esav. And Yaakov, we find him was lacking, and he had pachad. He was afraid of Esav, meeting Esav. He shouldn't have been. Elu hamidus v'chiyotzebem. These midus and others
like them. Hein mechitzas ben Hashem yisbarach manaviyim aleihem hashalom. Those are the mechitzas. It's unbelievable what he's saying. Those are the mechitzas that Chazal are referring to that say that there's mechitzas blocking between Hashem and his neviim. Umishi yeshal shtei midos or shalosh men bilti memutzais, and some has two or three midos that aren't perfectly in the middle the way they should be. Like we explained in Paragavi, that the ideal is always to be exactly in the middle, not too much, not too little. Nema boy, it says about him, Shira Hashem Yisbarach Mecha Shtei Mechitzas HaShalosh. He saw Hashem from behind two mechitzas or three mechitzas. The mechitzas are the midas that you're having the problem. Those are the mechitzas. You have a problem with one mida, you're behind one mechitza. You have a problem in two midas, you're in two mechitzas. That's what Chazal mean.
And
this shouldn't be so difficult for you to understand. The fact that having a bit of having a lacking in some midos would diminish from the madrega of nevuah, would take away from the madrega of nevuah. Because we find even that lacking somewhat in midos can actually hold back prophecy completely. Kakas, like anger. Omru Chazal said, "Kol akoyes, anyone who gets angry, imnaviu, if he's a prophet, nevuasim istalekas menu, his nevuah leaves him." So you see from Chazal that midos can hold back nevuah completely. Certainly to lower the madrega, if he has a slight problem that he's not mamish akoyes, he's not mamish angry in it, but he has a slight problem in that area, certainly that could limit, diminish, lower the level of nevuah. They brought a raya from Elisha. When Elisha got angry, his nevuah left him until he removed the anger. That's what it says. Now bring me a menagen. Like the idea of menagen would come and put you in a good mood. That was the idea. That was a way of bringing him back to a matzav. That now he can receive the nevuah. But a matzav of kas or a matzav of atzvos of anger or sadness, a person can't get nevuah in that state. And because of the sorrow and the worrying of Yaakov Avinu, all the days that he was misabel, that he was mourning over Yosef, nistalka mimenu ruach hakodesh, he lost his ruach hakodesh. Those years, he didn't have ruach hakodesh. Achin is baser b'chayev, until he was given the news in his life that Hamar v'tchi ruach Yaakov Aviyim. Then the ruach, the spirit of Yaakov was revived. Meaning, he once again, Amram Targum explains, Shuras ruach nevuah Yaakov avuah. Doesn't just mean that the spirit of Yaakov was revived. What is that spirit of Yaakov? The spirit of Yaakov is that the ruach nevuah once again rested on him. The spirit of prophecy once again was able to rest on Yaakov Avinu. But all the time that he was mourning, he was in a state of sadness over Yosef. He couldn't receive nevuah. Nevuah can't rest on a person, not mitoich atzlus from sadness, and not mitoich laziness, and not mitoich atzvus sadness, ela mitoich simcha, only in a state of happiness. I'll just mention one thing. We'll end with this for now. For today. Is a very amazing, as far as the Indian of Simcha, the Arizal, in the beginning of Shara Kavanas, Reb Chaim Vital tells us from the Arizal, Mamish the first page, it's something that people don't know. Osur la Odom le Spalel Tfilose Be'itzavon. It's forbidden to daven, not in a state of sadness. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this, that if a person, Allah Almighty, if a person is not in a good mood and he's sad, he's not allowed to daven. That's not what he means. That Rizal's not talking to that level of person. He's talking to a person who's going to understand. He's saying that, v'im na'aseh kach, if you're going to do that, you're going to daven in sadness, ein nafshe yichoy lekabel or ha'elyoin, hanimshech olav be'es ha'tfilo. Your nefesh will not be able to receive the higher, that supernal light that's drawn onto the person during tefillah. When a person's davening to Rebbein Shalom, he's attaching, it's putting the plug into the socket. You're attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now.
and there's a light, there's aura that's coming into you. There's a, you know, people like look at davening like, oh, I got to davening. It's like break, you know, it gets in the way. What do you mean gets in the way? You realize if you would like actually realize what goes on during davening, we're tapping into the aura elyon. That's like a valga thing. So he says, but omnam beishim is vada vidoi. When you're saying vido, you're confessing for aveira. Some of farat chatov. Oz toiv lesatzi b'vada. That's the only time that's proper to be sad. When you're, you know, some people maybe don't, whatever slachla, right? When you're being oisik and vido, or at the end of shmonesu, some people might say some things l'kain etzor, or maybe shema kaleinu also. Whatever, whenever you're saying vido, then yet you should be sad because that's the state that's appropriate for vido. That's showing you're confessing your feeling. Aval b'sharat feel the rest of davening nimshech lo nezek nifla gadol al yedei atzvusai. The rest of davening, tremendously big damage is done through sadness. Aval tzarech la'aris l'fan v'yisbarach hachana gdoila. Yeah, you have to show before Hashem a emo v'yira with trepidation and fear. Omnom tia b'simcha yaseir, but you have to be in a tremendous simcha, tremendous happiness. Ugdoila. Big simcha, kechol efshar, as much as possible. Kedimyon ha'eved ha'mashamash esrabah b'simcha yaseira. Similar to a servant who serves his master with tremendous simcha. V'mishamash ba'atzus, if he serves him with sadness, avadosin emesel hafanav. Then his work is rejected, and this, you know, it's upsetting to the master. Like, what do you, you know, he wants his eved to be in a good mood. U'kimat she'ikra ma'ilav ha'shlemus v'asogas ruch ha'koydish klui b'dover zeh. And he says it's basically the ikur maila and perfection and attaining Ruach HaKodesh is dependent on this thing, bein be'ez tefilasoi, whether it's while he's davening, or bein k'sha'is eis a mitzvah, mishah mitzvah, so when he does a mitzvah from any other mitzvah, k'mei shekaseh b'gemara, mahuda kubadek tuva, v'amu tefilah k'man, we find the Gemara says, this guy was like really happy, smiling, he's like mamish, and he said, well, what's going on? I put on tefilah k'man, I put on tefilah. He was like glowing, he was tremendously happy, the point that somebody asked him, like, why are you so happy? I put on tefilah, what do you mean when I'm happy? V'al tavoiz l'nyin zeh, and don't take this, you know, appreciate this. Don't be mavaza this idea. It's a very important thing the person should know is that, you know, a lot of times you see people davening and they look like they're in avelus, you know, and they think that that's a madrega. You know, they might be scrunching their faces and doing all sorts of other things, and maybe, you know, now it could be. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes a person is davening and he is moved to a state of tears and a state of crying because he feels his richuk from Hashem and whatever. That's fine. That's almost, I know this, it's paradoxically a state of simcha. It's paradoxically the person feels their Rebbeinu Shem so strong, especially Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you know, we find the same yisoid. But be'etzem, the person should know that when you're davening, before you're davening, you should get yourself into a really geshmak, a happy state. This is awesome. And dafka, the simcha, brings down, this is connected to what the Rambam is saying, that simcha is so important for bringing down Ruach HaKodesh, for bringing down Ora Elyon. The simcha allows the shef of the Rebbeinu Shem to come flow into us. That's a big idea. And when a person does a mitzvah, you should do it with a geshmak, you should do it with a simcha. And again, when a person starts to be margal himself to this, he starts to get himself more excited. And like, just, I always say, all you do, take 5 to 10 seconds before you do something, you're going to change your whole Yiddishkeit. You'll change your whole state of feeling about Judaism. 5 to 10 seconds before you make a bracha, before you daven, before you do a mitzvah. We do these things all the time. Just 5 seconds sometimes, yeah. Just think about, I'm about to make a bracha. Just like remind yourself what you're about to do. I'm about to daven the Rebbeinu Shem and connect, tap into that, or that's going to change the whole daven. Bez Hashem, we should be zeichet to simcha shal mitzvah, simcha v'chal, and have a good vach.
Thank you.